Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Alyssa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, parents, students, and teachers across the state are waiting to hear right now if school mask mandates can continue for their children, or if Governor Ron DeSantis's ban on these face covering requirements in schools gets knocked down. Here's what's going on right now. A Leon County Circuit Court judge has been listening to arguments all week, and he's about to issue his ruling on this as we are live on Friday. Parents had sued over the state's effort to prohibit public schools from requiring students to wear face coverings in class. But 10 public school boards across the state already went ahead and instituted a mask mandate for students, thanks to worries about the Delta variant of COVID-19. They voted in these mask mandates, Tom, in spite of the governor's order banning them. Instead of allowing students to opt out of wearing masks with a doctor's note, the governor says he would prefer parents decide whether children should wear the mask.
Yeah, Ashley Benton's daughter goes to school in Leon County. She has a disability that makes sensory processing difficult and painful. Benton says wearing a mask for her daughter is tough. Leon County Public Schools is one of the school districts with a mask requirement.
I'm still working on trying to figure out what we're going to do with her. I mean, at this point, if I can't get a medical opt-out, I think I'm going to have to pull her out of school.
Leon Schools offered to work with Benton on her situation. She's one of the two Leon County parents who testified in support of the governor's ban on mask mandates in this lawsuit this week. An attorney for the parents suing the governor, Craig Wisenhut, argued Wednesday the governor's ban on mask requirements oversteps local school board control.
The governor has sought to insert himself into matters of local health concerns and impede the ability of school boards to do what they are constitutionally mandated to do, which is to operate and control their schools.
Now, a lawyer for the governor in this case, Michael Abel, told the judge the governor's position is to allow parents to make decisions over whether or not their kids wear masks in school.
Parents' rights are a legitimate state interest. Florida parents have a fundamental right to raise their children, to include making the education and health care decisions for their children.
The arguments have played out in court. We're awaiting the ruling from the Leon County Circuit Court judge as we're live statewide on this Friday, just after noon Eastern time. Taking your phone calls in a moment, 305-995-1800. 305-995-1800. Tweets also. Hit us up on Twitter at Florida Roundup.
That ruling expected at any moment. But first, the state's top public health official is leaving. Surgeon General Scott Rivkes is stepping down next month. Now, he has not been a public presence during much of the pandemic here in Florida. Kirby Wilson is state government reporter with the Tampa Bay Times. He's been following this. Hi, Kirby.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So tell us about this. You know, all throughout the pandemic, we have hardly heard a peep from Florida Surgeon General Scott Rivkes, and that has come in for some criticism. What do we know about his departure?
So it is a little more complex, and the departure may not be indicative of dissatisfaction on Governor DeSantis's part, or it may be. Surgeon General Rivkes is also a tenured professor at the University of Florida in the pediatrics department, I believe. And he was allowed to come on board as the Surgeon General. And one of the conditions of that agreement where he was allowed to come on board is that he was allowed to keep that tenureship. But there's a provision in state law that only allows intergovernmental transfers of employees to last 2 years. So we've come up on that 2-year time limit. It started in June 2019, and the governor actually extended it for 3 months, also as allowed by law. So his contract, as it were, is expiring on September 20th, and the governor's office says that is why he is leaving. However, the state law also says that the Surgeon General serves at the pleasure of the governor. If Governor DeSantis wanted him to stay on, he almost certainly could have him stay on.
And what can we discern about the fact that during his tenure, he was largely sidelined during this public health crisis? We really didn't ever get any insights from him about the pandemic and the state's pandemic response.
Well, that's mostly true. But to your point about it being him being sidelined, we did get one key insight last April at a news conference when he said that Floridians may have to social distance for up to a year until a vaccine is available, which turned out to be prophetic. Not only was he removed from that news conference during the news conference, but like you said, we haven't seen him at public events in months. We've only seen him a handful of times since then. He testified at a couple Senate committee hearings in January, I believe, and appeared at the Capitol, but he has been far from the public face of Florida's pandemic response, despite being the state's top health official.
And any idea who might next fill the role?
So there has been some speculation that Dr. Shepke, who is a doctor at the Division of Emergency Management, I believe, could assume the role, just because, and that's not based on, candidly, on any reporting of mine, but Dr. Shepke has accompanied Governor DeSantis at his monoclonal antibody rollout effort in recent weeks. They've been touring the state, opening these facilities, and Dr. Shepke, as opposed to Dr. Rivkes, has been the voice of Florida government in terms of telling people to get vaccinated. But if you happen to contract the disease, we've made available these monoclonal antibody treatments for free for people at these treatment centers all over the state.
Kirby Wilson, covering state government for the Tampa Bay Times. Thanks for being with us here on the Florida Roundup.
Thank you.
And so much news around public health in Florida, Tom. A ruling is coming down now as we are live on the air from a circuit judge in Leon County. This fight, Tom, between Florida parents and the governor over mass mandates for students.
Indeed. The governor, of course, issuing an executive order in July directing the Department of Health and Department of Education to forge some rules around masks and schools, and those rules coming out prohibiting mask requirements in schools. But as we have talked about in the past many weeks, many school districts have been moving forward with different types of mask rules. And over the last 10 days or so, we've now seen 10 different public school district school boards vote for mask requirements. Parents can opt out of their children wearing a mask, but only with a doctor's note. And the Department of Education particularly has been coming down hard on the first two school districts that had moved in that direction, Broward and Alachua counties, threatening to pull funding equal to the salary of school board members and the superintendent. But the Florida Circuit Court judge hearing this lawsuit from parents suing over the governor's executive order and the Department of Health rules is ruling that the order banning mask mandates in schools is unconstitutional. This is a defeat for the state. And in fact, earlier this week, perhaps the governor anticipated this kind of ruling out of Leon County Circuit Court, Melissa, as the governor said that he would appeal the ruling.
Exactly
if the state
lost. Right. You can expect an immediate appeal, which means, given my understanding from attorneys that have talked about the legal back and forth, that the districts that are currently mandating masks will continue. Those that aren't mandating masks won't be immediately forced to change. However, this is just breaking as we speak. Judge Cooper saying the governor has exceeded his authority in effectively preventing school boards from mandating masks. The judge says mask mandates are expressly permitted by the Parents' Bill of Rights. Tom, that's the law that the governor championed and that his attorneys argued in court this week, saying that parents should have the right to decide whether their children wear masks. The judge did not accept that line of argument. He's saying that the Parents' Bill of Rights does not forbid a mask mandate.
It was the Parents' Bill of Rights that was passed by law by this by the spring legislature, signed into law by Governor Ron DeSantis, and went into effect just recently. The lawyers in this case also pointed to the Florida Constitution and its guarantee of a safe and secure public education for children in Florida. The judge here, Judge Cooper in Leon County, concluded that the law in Florida does not support a statewide order or what he called any action interfering with the constitutionally provided authority of local school districts to provide for the safety and health of children based on the unique facts on the ground in a particular county. This was a key part of the plaintiff, the parents, saying that it usurped local control, essentially, which was which is stipulated in the Constitution to give school boards control over those right. decisions in classrooms that are happening in local schools.
And let's be clear, there are a couple of lawsuits moving on this. One is at the federal level, and it is arguing on behalf of children with disabilities, Tom, saying that they are being made vulnerable to the lack of mask mandates. This other lawsuit that we just got the ruling on is at the state level. Parents from around the state joined this action. In a moment, we'll speak with the attorney who represented them in court, Charles Gallagher of St. Petersburg. They argued, Tom, as well, that because children under 12 are not able to be vaccinated, that universal mask wearing in classrooms is the only line of defense they have for their kids. They argued that the governor's ban on mask mandates violates the Florida Constitution, which orders that schools be safe, that students be safe in school. And so, as we've seen pediatric ICUs around the state fill up, kids have been more vulnerable to this Delta variant of the virus than they were to the Alpha virus last year, if you want to call it that. Pediatricians, Tom, all over the state have been lobbying school boards and begging and pleading with them to institute mask mandates, saying that they don't want to see any more young children going into ICUs with cases of COVID-19. These arguments on the order of public health, making sure that public health extends to the classroom, the judge saw this argument, Tom, the parents' way.
Exactly. The judge in Leon County still holding the hearing as we're live just after noon Eastern time on this Friday, as you're listening to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio, talking about the Leon County Circuit Court's judge ruling that Governor Ron DeSantis's prohibition of mask mandates in public schools is unconstitutional. 305-995-1800 for your phone calls, thoughts, reactions. 10 school districts now in Florida have instituted a version of a mask requirement for students with only a doctor's note as an exemption. 305-995-1800 or at Florida Roundup on Twitter. In St. Augustine, Kathy has been patient. Kathy, you're on the radio. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I agree with everything I've been hearing. I'm a retired psychotherapist, parent, a grandparent, and I know that it is illegal for any parent to knowingly put their children in harm's way or to knowingly hurt them. No parent can decide, well, Susie's a little 5 pounds overweight, so I'm just going to give her, you know, tiny little bit to eat a day. She can't do that. No, she cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
That is not her right. And it is not any parent's right to send their children into what we all know could be a very deadly situation, being in a school with other kids and teachers without masks. Because unless you're completely not listening to the news at all, we all know how deadly COVID-19 and especially this new variant is. Our hospitals in Florida are packed, and including with children.
Mm-hmm.
It's a national disgrace, and we can all thank Ron DeSantis for this.
Kathy, thanks for adding that voice there from St. Augustine. Regarding the science, Melissa, mm-hmm. I have found it interesting listening to the judge's hearing as he has gone through the evidence that the state as well as the parents' attorneys presented in this very short trial this week in Leon County, and has really criticized the state for providing partial evidence or pieces of scientific evidence that the state attorneys argued supported the governor's case about masks and about the virus with children.
Yeah. You know, we've been watching this hearing on Zoom, and it was the longest windup ever, Tom, waiting for the judge to issue his ruling. And certainly he wanted to lay out every bit of legal argument that he could, theoretically, I suppose, to insulate his ruling from appeals, which are expected. Governor DeSantis and his attorneys will immediately appeal this ruling. Just following along with people live tweeting from the hearing, the judge is only granting injunctive relief to Florida parents in parts of this action, not every count that they brought. And so we're going to have to hopefully welcome the attorney representing the parents, Charles Gallagher, in a few more minutes, because he's still listening in to the hearing, which is going on right now. 305-995-1800 here on the Florida Roundup as we talk about this breaking news. And, you know, it's kind of ironic, Tom, too, that the whole hearing was done virtually, theoretically, to keep everybody yeah. safe from the virus, as the attorneys were arguing about whether it was okay to let a bunch of school children crowd into classes without masks. And yet the whole hearing was virtual.
Right. We're still watching the hearing, which is virtual and live streamed in part because of the public health concerns about COVID-19 and the Delta variant. And in fact, many of the school board meetings that have been held across the state were held with certain, even if they were in person, were held still with masking protocols and certain social distancing protocols still in place.
Let's go to a few calls now. 305-995-1800. 305-995-1800. Can we get Carolina from Orlando on the line quickly? Carolina?
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Hi, I just wanted to express my opinion. I am sure that it's controversial, but I do not think children should be mandated to wear masks. I think that it has more long-term effects that are negative in regards to their behavioral impact of not being able to breathe.
Do you have kids in school, Carolina?
I sure do.
And how old are your kids?
She's six.
Okay.
I have one that's six and one that's 20 months old.
Okay, Carolina, thanks so much for expressing your opinion. Tom Hudson, certainly parents weighed in vociferously on this issue across the state, pro and con. School boards earned their pay this month, didn't they? In Duval County, they sat for 8 hours taking public comment before deciding to institute a mask mandate. And we're going to hear from more parents this hour, Tom, here on the Florida Roundup as we continue
indeed.
With this.
Indeed we will, as we continue to talk about the circuit court ruling out of Leon County regarding a group of parents in Florida suing the governor for the prohibition against mask mandates in public schools. The judge ruling that the governor overstepped his constitutional bounds with that prohibition. And WFSU Public Media Lynn Hatter is reporting that the judge is not granting an injunction against the governor, but the judge is blocking the Department of Education from punishing local school boards for those mask mandate policies, which provide the only exemption being a doctor's note. 305-995-1800, our phone number statewide here on this Friday as we're live across Florida, 305-995-1800. Hit us up on Twitter as well, at Florida Roundup, talking again about masks in school across the state of Florida as the Florida Roundup continues in a moment. Stick with us.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. We continue following the ruling out of Leon County Circuit Court, ruling the governor's prohibition of mask mandates in public schools unconstitutional. We'll take more of your phone calls and hear more on that specific ruling here coming up in just a few moments. Healthcare professionals, meantime, throughout the state of Florida continue to be overwhelmed by COVID-19 patients. Almost 100 doctors gathered at a parking lot of a Palm Beach County medical facility on Monday, expressing their frustration with people who choose not to get vaccinated against the virus.
Now, it wasn't a walkout. No patients were left unattended. Dr. Jennifer Butchener is a neurologist who helped organize the event.
We've had enough and we're pushed to the max. And why don't we all stand up together?
Buchner says she's hopeful the Food and Drug Administration's full approval of the Pfizer vaccine this week will motivate people to get their shots and prevent further COVID-related hospitalizations.
Our hospitals are full, supplies are running lower, and if we're each seeing 20 to 25 patients a day in our office and having these conversations, it's an exhausting conversation to do 25 times a day.
Here's the deal, Florida. Doctors have had enough. They are begging you to get vaccinated. Hospitals, ICUs are full. Two major Florida cities, Tampa and Orlando, are telling people to conserve water now because liquid oxygen, which is normally used in water treatment, is having to be diverted in those cities to overwhelmed ICUs and COVID patients who desperately need oxygen. Just think about that for a minute. Give us a call, 305-995-1800, or tweet us at Florida Roundup.
Dr. Sam Attal is a surgeon with Advent Health in Orlando. Dr. Jen Coard, an ER physician in Jacksonville. Doctors, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Dr. Coard, you first here. Reaction to this judge's ruling that prohibiting mask mandates in public schools is unconstitutional. What do you think about that?
I'm grateful for this ruling. I've been at my local school board advocating for masks in the schools. And, you know, Duval County, we had a parental opt-out. Mm-hmm. It was better than the alternative, which was optional masks entirely. But we've still seen schools closed in our area, especially schools with high rates of parental opt-out. My own daughter is home on quarantine right now, and I'm still taking care of COVID patients in the hospital. So I'm really grateful for the public health implications of being able to mandate masks in schools other than those children that do have a legitimate medical need and get a doctor's note.
Dr. Attala, how about for you in Orange County in Orlando? There has been a push toward mask mandates as well.
Absolutely. And I'd be grateful for that as well. I think the idea here is that we're in crisis mode. We have to execute on this and we have to resort to basically extreme measures. Listen, none of us want to see this pandemic go on. None of us also want to wear masks in public forever. We are doing this so that we can dampen the effect of the pandemic that is currently, especially in Central Florida, surging out of control, filling up our hospitals to capacity.
Yeah, describe the hospital that you work at, Dr. Attala. What are conditions like this week? What's this weekend hold?
For the hardest hit of the hospitals, I'll simplify things. We basically have two wards, a surgical ward and a medical ward. The medical ward is at 100% capacity now with COVID positive patients, all right? 99% of which are unvaccinated. We also have an ICU and it's also filled to capacity with COVID positive patients, all of which are unvaccinated. So what's going on in the surgical ward right now? Guess what? You'll walk around the halls and you won't see hardly any surgical, post-surgical patients because now that space has been usurped to take care of all the patients with other ongoing medical conditions that need more urgent care and attention. People having heart attacks, strokes, other things of this nature. And so essentially our delivery of healthcare in Central Florida has been crippled. We're at a breaking point. We can no longer deliver surgical services, especially.
Dr. Coard, tell us what the conditions are like over this weekend, what you expect for in your ED.
Yeah, so in Jacksonville, we're exactly experiencing the same thing that Dr. Attala's hospital is experiencing. We were the first in the state to really start experiencing these surge with Delta variant. We are starting in Jacksonville to see a little bit of decrease in the case count. The positivity rate is now below 20% for the first time since the beginning of July. But COVID is a long illness, and we are definitely still seeing a lot of patients hospitalized for weeks, months. The ones that go to ICU do not come out quickly when they do recover. And so Jacksonville area is still seeing over 100% ICU capacity being used. A lot of that capacity is used for COVID-19 patients. And so just as Dr. Attala said, we in Jacksonville, it's very difficult to get any kind of scheduled surgery. And that is true whether you have a painful joint that needs to be replaced or you have a cancer surgery, but it could potentially be deferred. And so basically any surgical procedure that needs to come in the hospital, those are being weighed on a case-by-case basis to see, you know, can it be delayed in order to use the resources to take care of patients in other ways. So hospitals in Jacksonville still operating with patients in garage units or units with the post-op, what's usually our post-op recovery areas, being used to take care of COVID-19 patients. And those surgery patients are just not in the hospital because they're not having surgery.
One of the other effects that we've seen just within the past week to 10 days, Dr. Atala, has been the calls for local community to conserve water use. That happened in Orlando just a week or so ago because of concerns about liquid oxygen that's used in the water treatment process that also can be used for the oxygen gas necessary for some of these COVID-19 patients. What is that supply like there at Advent Health in Orlando?
That's just incredible to even hear that, right? I mean, who would think that liquid oxygen is now running in short supply and we need the oxygen for COVID-positive patients who are flooding all of our area hospitals? This is really should make everybody stand back and say, man, this pandemic is very, very serious. It has surged to, you know, a new level, and we have to do something to curtail this pandemic. And that starts with vaccinations, right? For those who are eligible to receive the vaccine that haven't, you hold the key. You hold the answer to the end of the pandemic. And we need everyone listening who hasn't been vaccinated to understand that you don't just get vaccinated to protect yourself. You get vaccinated so that we can see an end to this pandemic.
I can hear the passion and frustration in your voice, Dr. Atala. But let me ask you about the reality of these concerns about oxygen supply. Have you seen less oxygen supply at your hospital?
Well, it's hard for me to quantitate that, and I couldn't really speak to that for you in terms of how much oxygen is there. I can tell you that all COVID-positive patients who are being admitted generally have an oxygen requirement. Otherwise, they wouldn't need to be admitted, right?
Right.
So now this raises the level of acuity, not only for ventilated patients in the ICU with COVID, but also for many of the patients with COVID who are on the floor or ward who are traditionally at a lesser level of acuity, now all on oxygen, basically using that resources in all the hospitals across town.
Doctors, we have to leave our conversation there, but we can't thank you enough for carving out just a few moments of your busy schedules. Dr. Sam Atala, surgeon at Advent Health in Orlando, Dr. Jen Cohart, ER physician in Jacksonville. Thanks to both of you for sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you.
And it's breaking news on the show today as a judge in Leon County has ruled against the Ron DeSantis administration when it comes to mask mandates for Florida kids. Charles Gallagher, the attorney representing a coalition of Florida parents, had sued over this, and he won in court just now. He calls in right now to the Florida Roundup. Charles Gallagher, tell us about the judge's ruling. You were victorious in your arguments.
Afternoon. Thanks for having me. And yes, we just came off a hearing a few moments ago. So at the end of the day, the injunction relief we had sought was granted, and the attack upon the executive order indicating that schools were prohibited from having mask mandates was also successful. So yes, there were, I think it's a sound victory for students across Florida, for parents looking to keep those safe. That's the mechanics of the order itself.
Now, this was a limited ruling, wasn't it? The judge didn't rule in your favor on all counts, but the main takeaway for our listeners is that he found in favor of the idea that local school boards can decide these policies, right?
Correct. Yeah, there were numerous counts. Really, all of them sought the same thing, taking aim at the executive order and the ability to prohibit various school boards from enacting their own mask policies and then the attendant penalties. So while we had numerous counts that sought the same thing, it was a different number of ways to attack it. And that was on purpose. You never know what facts are going to come out in trial. So you want to plead things in a way that has a set contingency to allow for anything that might happen. So that was our plan initially all along, and we're very thankful that it was fruitful in the end.
Of course, the state will appeal. Then you'll file a response to that. There'll be some back and forth. What happens to the school districts that are not currently mandating masks for students? As we've been talking about, 10 districts have mandated. There's lots of others that haven't. So what does this mean for them right now?
For those that have not mandated, once the actual order is entered, and that's going to probably happen on Monday, we expect, they would have no penalty for enacting mask mandates, and they would be able to evaluate their own circumstances and act as they wish. So it gives everyone, every school board, the ability and freedom to act as they deem appropriate.
Okay, so basically about half of the state's kids, Charles, are under a mask mandate right now. And while this plays out in court, about half will remain unmasked. So in that sense, is it a partial victory for parents concerned about their child's safety in schools?
In terms of the relief we requested, we think it's a full victory. Again, you know, going a different number of routes in the logistics of things, that was to enable us to have the highest opportunity for success. We feel we were ultimately successful on the merits on the entire case. This allows all school boards in the state of Florida to act in their own judgment without fear of this financial repercussions. These financial
The governor threatened to penalize their dock their pay indirectly. A question Tom Hudson just teed up. This is a good one too. Does this set a legal precedent for the state's colleges and universities who would like to institute mask mandates as well?
So typically, once a case would hit the appeal level, that would be precedent in terms of legal authority. However, we have seen how a court has ruled in Tallahassee. We have seen what their basis for the underlying decision is. So I think that it's going to be viewed as tea leaves to what might happen in future cases brought before a trial court or an appellate court. We think that this is a very helpful directive, and the court was very, very complete in its analysis. And the hours put in by the court were very amazing and commendable. So this is a case that was fully covered on all the legal issues and the facts. And we think that other schools and other school boards would look to this for some future authority on what might occur. And maybe for guidance. We would hope for guidance.
You're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio.
We're speaking with Charles Gallagher, Gallagher & Associates Law Firm in St. Petersburg, one of the attorneys representing Florida parents who sued successfully against Governor Ron DeSantis' executive order prohibiting local school boards from instituting mask mandates. That ruling happening just in the past 40 minutes here as you've been listening to the Florida Roundup. Let's take your phone calls at 305-995-1800. Mount Dora Jay has been very patient on line 5. Jay, thanks for calling. You're on the radio.
Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking my call. My name's Jay. I'm a public school teacher at a high school here in Lake County. And I was just wanting to call and first off say thank you to the judge in Leon County for the ruling. As a school teacher, I could not be more over the moon for the ruling because it is essential that we have whatever defense we can for our students. Just since Friday of last week through today, my school alone, so one school in one county, has had almost 100 students go out either having tested positive or due to contact tracing, being near a student who has tested positive. And those are only the cases that have actually been reported. Who knows what isn't being handled appropriately. So this is really getting over out of hand. I was able to listen to the questions that you all had for the medical professionals, the mm-hmm. two doctors from Jacksonville and Orlando. And I just wanted to thank them for their words of encouragement and their intellectualism as well, because it's minds like that and voices like that that we need to really bring sense and to really bring some just logic into this conversation. Yeah. So,
Jay, I appreciate you adding your voice there from Mount Dora. Let's hear from Ruben in Alachua County, one of the first counties to put in a mask mandate for its public schools. Ruben, you're on the radio.
Thanks for the taking my call. We are here in Alachua. My girl goes to high school, and she understands the science. The real reason, and we have to look at this from the background of what is it coming from, the real reason this governor is being so fanatic and extremist is because he wants to be a VP with Donald Trump in 2024. If you look at his decisions against the cruise industry,
mm-hmm.
If you look at all the decisions that he's been making for the last 2 years, all he wants to do is stay in the limelight to get the publicity and his name to be out there, because he's following the same way that Trump did whenever he was going crazy, talking so many crazy things. He wants to do the same. He wants to look tough. So in reality, that's what we have to look for. Why is he doing this? He knows the science. We have over 500,000 fatalities in this country. Alachua took the initiatives because 10 minutes down the road, we have Chance Hospital, and the hospital is overwhelmed. And they were courageous enough to say, no, we've got to protect our kids.
Yeah, Ruben, I appreciate you adding that voice there from Alachua County. Ruben here joining our conversation as we're talking about the ruling that was just handed in Leon County Circuit Court. Saying that Governor Ron DeSantis' executive order prohibiting local school boards from instituting or from banning mask mandates was unconstitutional and overstep of his authority. We'll continue that conversation and more of your phone calls and tweets. Be sure to hit us up on social media. Let us know what you think at Florida Roundup and line up the calls at 305-995-1800. 305-995-1800 as the Florida Roundup continues in a moment. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening and supporting public media. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Breaking news this hour, a judge in Leon County has ruled against Governor Ron DeSantis and Florida Education Commissioner Richard Corcoran, and on behalf of a coalition of Florida parents. They had sued over the governor's emergency order banning local school districts from mandating masks for students as a way to stop the spread of the Delta variant of COVID. More kids are filling up ICUs around the state, leading to this lawsuit and others. 305-995-1800 as we continue now with attorney Charles Gallagher of Gallagher and Associates firm in St. Pete. He's one of the filing attorneys. You know, Charles, we'll go to a few more calls, but lots of tweets coming in. Here's one from a listener. My teen is in a crowded school with 50% masks. My husband works in a hospital and hears the code blues all day long. How many more corpses do we need to have in order for the governor to understand we need mandated masks and vaccines, she says. Charles, you know, the judge had the longest windup to issuing his ruling, laying out his rationale. It seemed as though he was trying to insulate his decision from future appeals, laying out every possible legal argument. So did he do that, or could there be appeals made on certain aspects of his ruling where the governor's lawyers might see an opening to have this reversed, overturned? Tell us about what we can expect legally.
So internally among our attorney group, we were referring to this as the bulletproof order, doing just that. Crafting an order in a way that incorporates the findings of fact, conclusions of law that would not be assailable by an appeals court. Of course, they are going to file an appeal. Of course, there will be briefing on the issue and an adjudication on the appeal itself. But what can happen is the appeal can be denied and the appellate court can deny to seek that appellate relief based upon a well-crafted order that includes legally supportable causes that were sustained and were found with findings of fact and conclusions of law. And we think that's just what the court was doing. The court took great pain to create an order that would be bulletproof to any appeal made. Certainly they will appeal, but we think that was what his goal was and he did do.
What about the judge throwing cold water on the scientific experts the governor had chosen to buttress his case? He didn't seem to give much credence to Governor DeSantis's panel of advisors on this.
And I think that when you looked at the actual testimony from their one expert, who concedes he's an academic, never treated patients, never treated a child, never treated a COVID patient, and then our five experts, our doctors that treat patients every day in hospitals, that are qualified beyond measure, board certified, 30 years of experience. I think that at the end of the day, you have a really easy conclusion to make on the expert evidence. And I was not surprised to hear him say that he found the compelling evidence of the experts for the plaintiffs won the day in that respect.
And so, as you've been telling us earlier in the hour, local school districts who are not mandating masks currently will not have to immediately change course. You know, and we've heard from parents and teachers all over the state on this. Sometimes parents might say, well, my child has a sensory issue that makes it hard for them to wear a mask. This is a situation where now parents will have to have a doctor's note in 10 districts anyway, to opt their child out of wearing a mask. And those parents feel pretty strongly about this, too. So what's your response to those parents listening right now?
And I think that the medical exemption will always be part of this. I think that when the experts, when the fact witnesses for the defense parents were speaking about their particular scenarios, the court even, jumped in and said, I think you're going to be protected and be helped by a medical exemption. All you have to do is have your doctor, provide that. So I think that you're going to have that throughout. There are certainly many, many children who would need to have an exemption for a medical basis. And that's nothing that the school boards are contemplating by having mandatory mask policies would not make that provision. They're all going to have a provision where if there's some discernible medical issue, they will be able to opt out. And then there are other, methods too, the plastic face shields as well. There are other ways to go ahead and meet that issue. But I think these kids are not going to be in a place where they're forced to mask when the medicine says they shouldn't be masking.
Charles, stick with us. Charles Gallagher is with Gallagher & Associates Law Firm in St. Petersburg, one of the attorneys for the parents who sued successfully the governor against his executive order prohibiting school boards from instituting mask mandates. 305-995-1800, our statewide phone number, at Florida Roundup on Twitter. Port Orange, Eric has been very patient waiting for us. Eric, thanks for being patient here. Glad you can get into this conversation. Go ahead.
Well, a few things. I'm not quite 80 years old, but I had to have vaccinations before I went to school. When I went into the first grade, and then when polio came out, we had to get that. So it's long established that school boards have the right to demand that people get vaccinated. The second thing is that the whole premise of government like ours, a representative government, is that we hire these people to run the government with the understanding that their primary purpose is to keep us safe. And the governor has simply ignored that. And now that the judge has said that the school boards do have a constitutional right and an obligation to keep us safe, I would like to see any school board that does not mandate masks and vaccinations and testing with whatever medical, outcomes there are, to make them mandated. Mm. That's their job.
Yeah. Eric, good point there in Port Orange. Eric joining us here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Charles Gallagher, let me ask you, is there any other additional legal action that your clients are thinking about after this ruling here today?
We will all conference and determine that. Literally, I just stepped off the hearing to dial in, so I've not been able to speak with our clients or on the with our team of counsel as well. I think that this order does go ahead and give the relief that was requested, so I'm not sure there'll be a need for any secondary legal action aside from defending the appeal brought by the state.
And Charles Gallet, Melissa Ross here. Can you clarify once again, does this order prevent the governor from following through on threats he had made to indirectly dock the pay of educators who were defying him on this matter?
Sure. Practically speaking, the answer is yes. The court did enjoin the non-governor defendants, that was DOE, Florida School Commissioner, and the school board, and the Florida Department of Education and Education Board. Those defendants, those three defendants, were enjoined from any enforcement of the executive order. So while you wouldn't have the Department of Education, you wouldn't have the governor specifically enforcing it himself, you'd have the Department of Education enforcing it. That was enjoined by the last count, the permanent injunction count, which the court granted. He took some time to go ahead and speak about the fact that you wouldn't have the actual governor making enforcement of these school districts. That's all done by the actual department itself. And and taking into evidence in this case were the two orders relative to Broward and Alachua. So the answer is yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's hear from Clearwater near where you are, Charles, there. Alexandra on line 5. Go ahead, Alexandra. You're on the radio.
Yes, I'm thankful for everyone there and the attorney and the parents for bringing this suit. I do have children in the school system who are affected with disability, and it is difficult for them to wear their mask, but I still work with them every day, and they will put it on. They need prompting. But as long as everyone is doing it, there can be some that simply just are not able to for whatever reason. They're still, if the majority is doing it, then that is the protection that they and others need in their environment.
Alexandra, I appreciate you sharing that experience there in Clearwater. Charles Gallagher, let me ask you, a week ago we had the Secretary of Education on this program. Melissa spoke with Miguel Cardona, and he talked about how the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division is on guard and watching Florida and masks and schools. Have you been contacted? Have your clients been contacted by that Department of Justice Civil Rights Division?
We have not, and I don't know that my clients have either, but we have not had any contact with them directly, no.
You know, interesting, too, now that parents will have to get a medical opt-out, Charles Gallagher, there are some doctors who presumably don't have scruples who are willing to provide sketchy ones. At least we're hearing that from some parents. That's something that we'll be following. But in the meantime, this is the big takeaway today. A judge in Leon County has ruled on behalf of Florida parents who have sued over the state preventing local school boards from instituting mask mandates for students. The judge finding in favor of the parents who say school boards should be allowed to put these mandates in place to protect students from COVID-19. Attorney Charles Gallagher, thanks for joining us on a busy day.
Thanks for having me. All the best.
And that's our news-packed show, the Florida Roundup, produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz, Andrea Padroma are producers. Catherine Hobbs is our associate producer.
WLRN's Director of Radio Operations and our Technical Director is Peter Meritz. We get engineering help each and every week from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Josh Torres. Richard Ives answers the phones. Our theme music provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. We'll be back next Friday at noon.